Hello, my name is Woody, and this is another episode of 1-3-3. And I've got a returning guest from Australia, and here we are again with another episode is Silly Little Teapot. Hello, Silly.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm all right, you know. How are you?
I'm
You
doing pretty
terrible American.
I sounded like I had like I had gotten shot with
You sounded
Novocaine or
like
something.
you
But
suddenly you have a lisp.
hello.
Where did the lisp come from?
I don't know. But see, I also want my voice deep too, so I don't know if that's the problem.
I noticed you'd like to make your voice really gruff, like
Hello.
Are you just
Hello.
being Bruce from Finding Nemo?
Yeah, pretty much. Fish are our friends. Yeah, that's horrible. No. Silly's been trying to teach me the Aussie accent for like scripting and stuff, and I can't figure out how to do it properly. It's just like the first thing I do is make my tongue heavy, and then that's stupid because it just makes me sound like this, like I got a lisp or something, and that doesn't sound right.
Honestly, it sounds like you were hit in the head with something.
Hello.
No offense. Should
No, it's all
I
right.
qualify that no offense?
Yeah, it's all good. Nobody offended by that. I got hit in the head. Nope. See, I can't. Yeah, I can't even do it. But anyway, we're not here to test our accents. That would be awesome, though. If we just have like a vocal lesson, you're just like, all right, here in this one, Silly's gonna try to teach me how to speak Aussie, and it's the 40 minutes of just you getting increasingly frustrated with me. No, that would be fun. We'll save that for another time. We are going to play 1-3-3, though. And last time, Silly challenged me to basically flip the script, as it were. Do people still say that? I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
But basically, what we're going to do is we're going to play it to where I tell her the three stories, and then she has to guess which one is true. So it's pretty fun. I go through the rules pretty much basically. We try to do the little intro, but I think this works. That Aussie American, your American accent, by the way, you were just like, hey, how's it going? It's easy, right? But it's not too, I mean,
Yeah.
what do you find most
When
challenging about it?
I don't know, it's difficult to erase the softness of the Australian accent, I suppose. Cause I feel like the American accent is much more defined, if that makes any sense, which I don't think it really does.
No, it does. No, I mean, okay. So I think one uniquely American thing, and it's probably dealt with similarly in Australia, but probably traffic. I'm not sure if the freeways, the highways, or roadways are different or whatever. Certainly in the urbanized areas, it's more. But I don't imagine people are like, get off the road, so that sort of thing. And I went gruff again. See?
Yeah,
But like,
no, people definitely do that.
right. But I mean, in America, it's like, hey, I got your horn right here, and you can have a little bit more sass on it. I don't actually, what,
Oh
my
man.
accent? No, but I don't actually.
Suddenly from New York.
Yeah, I'm from New York. What do you want to say? You want to come after me? I'll honk my horn at you. You crazy lunatic. What are you doing? Anyway. So,
A
no.
common one over here is just, how'd you get your fucking license, you asshole? That kind of thing.
Oh my goodness. See, I'm not good at the
Yeah.
swears, so that's the other thing. So I'd be like, I'm super polite,
Oh,
and everybody behind the
yeah,
wheel is buddy.
that's
So
tough.
it's like, what are you doing, buddy? How's it going? I'm super timid when it
Yeah.
comes to that. So, but
Well,
yeah.
that's how I insult other drivers when I've got my parents in the car.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Oh, you mean you go timid. You don't like
Yeah,
learn to
I'm
drive.
like, oh no, look at this silly person over here. What are they doing?
Yeah. So I'm just driving perpetually with my parents in the car secretly. Maybe my parents are in the car. That'd be creepy. Like the spirits or the ghosts of my parents somehow in the car. Or I'm gonna write that down. That's a good, not a GWA idea, but that's a good audio idea.
It's a bit of a niche idea,
Yeah. Hey,
the
mom and dad.
GWA.
So let's go over the rules real quick for those of you guys who haven't played before, in case you couldn't tell by the name. I'm the contestant, so I'm gonna tell three stories from my past one at a time. Two of the stories are not real, but one of them is. And it's my job to fool Silly, and it's her job to guess which story might be real. Now, she gets to ask me clarifying questions at the end and then look for additional details to uncover. And if she guesses the real one correctly, then she wins. But if not, then I win. So we always play for a prize. And, you know, it's funny. I'm still going to give Silly a prize. but we were just talking about how, you know, we both, you know, obviously when you're in school, you're reading all this nonfiction stuff. But you said your escapism is in, like, fiction and then specifically dystopian fiction. You have to wait for what's the name of the book again?
Metro 2035.
Okay.
I'm waiting for that one to be translated from Russian.
Da. We are translating it right now. It will be ready in Christmas is what they said, according to the website. So anyway, so I just brought up a book that I'd heard about called Sand by Hugh Howey. And I don't know if anybody is a fiction nerd or whatever. I don't read a lot of fiction. I read a lot of nonfiction social science type books. But I hear Sand is really good, and it's a long book. So if you like dystopian stuff, and it's easy too, because it's a digital. I can send it as a gift. So haha.
Yeah.
If you win, I'm going to send you that book, okay? Now, I don't know if you have note cards, but I have note cards to help me keep track of the details.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's early. You know, I gotta make sure
you
I stay
sharp. You are so prepared. I do have a sheet of paper here that I'm currently doodling all over.
Do you know the other reason why I do it, right? Because I can crinkle paper on my end of things, and I think that's an ASMR. Oh, yeah. I don't know if that is, but... Ooh.
Yep, if any listeners are triggered by crinkling paper.
Pretty much.
Or triggered. Should we start whispering? Should this be an ASMR episode where we just...
Whisper. So, 6 months ago. No, just kidding. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll bypass the ASMR for now, but let's go ahead and start playing. Are you ready to play one through... One? Yeah. Are you ready to play?
I am ready to play.
Through three. Blah. All right, well, I'm going to start with my first story. So, this is probably the most recent story, and so as a result, I'm going to probably scrub some of the details out, but this happened about 6 months ago, and it's pretty funny. So, I had just joined GWA, and I don't know if my account was active, but I might have been on a different account before I started actually creating content, because I was scripting first for about a month, and then I moved over. But, something I mentioned already, I do this broadcast four days a week. And so I'm broadcasting the evenings, and I just discovered, obviously GWA. I can't remember if it was the week or the week after where I was like, this was cool. And then I forgot about it. And then I was like, oh, I remember. But it just so happened that the day I went back, it was a night that I broadcast. So I think I listened to a few different things in the afternoon, and then the broadcast started. So I am basically live on a webcam. And so the broadcast was really slow. It's you know, where you have to basically take orders and whatnot. During the broadcast, I was like, man, you know, this is kind of boring. Usually I'll step away for a couple of minutes to, like, you know, grab a drink of water and, you know, let the music jam, that sort of thing. But because I had just discovered GWA, I was like, you know, getting increasingly, like, curious about maybe what was out there and trying to find different content, different, you know, kind of things that I like to listen to. So my caveat to that was that I took my phone with me, which helped me track order. So when I get an order in, I hear my phone buzz, basically. So I was like, oh, well, then I can bring my phone with me, and then I can, like, be close by, you know, if my phone rings and or not rings, but, you know, if it buzzes for an incoming order.
Yep.
So, I, you know, went to the bedroom, and the music was going, and the music on the broadcast was going. So, but I wasn't actually live on camera. And so I, you know, started to listen to GWA, and, I got a little caught up in one of the audios I listened to, and, you know, push came to shove, and I was like, started to do things as a result of it.
Yep. And, as you do when you listen to GWA.
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes I'll listen and not. But at first, I mean, I didn't know. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, a little like puberty. We're like, why is my body changing and what's going on?
Yeah.
But so, you know, I essentially got caught up in one of the audios I was listening to. I don't remember which one it was. But, you know, again, it was like, I was into it, and I was like, it was quiet, and I really wasn't thinking about the orders. I wasn't even thinking about the broadcast. So, you know, as I finished listening, and I picked up my phone, and I saw a bunch. I'm not even kidding, like a bunch of just messages. What I had done is I'd accidentally switched my phone to silent. And so it was on vibrate, but it wasn't telling me that new orders were coming in. So there were 6 orders that I had missed in the 10 minutes I was listening to it. So I'm also like, you know, incapacitated. So I was like, oops. But I was like rushing around and getting dressed, and my phone rings before I get back on camera. My phone rings, and the boss is like, where are you? What's going on? I was like, oh, I had to make up excuses. I was like, I was running, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, I took care, you know, of everything. And then I go in and I monitor chat as well. And they were like, where's Woody? What's going on? And it was just pandemonium. And I was just like, I probably should not listen during my broadcast from now on.
Probably
so,
not.
So that's something that happened recently, again, like 6 months ago. And that's my first story. It was kind of embarrassing, but obviously none was the wiser, and the rest of the broadcast went off without a hitch. So, yeah.
Well, let's hope your broadcast followers.
Yeah.
Don't frequent GWA then, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't remember, like, because I also wasn't recording at the time, so it wasn't like I was concerned at the time. I wasn't thinking about whether or not people would hear my voice or whatever. So, but certainly I was a little bit embarrassed and had to clear the orders in a jiffy and apologize for, like, oh, I'm sorry, wasn't around. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that's my first story. Story number 2. Now, the next 2 stories, I basically, it's been a long time, so I get to lift the embargo for telling relevant details. So this is back when I was 23, so it was over 10 years ago because I'm old. And I've always had basically like a kind of like a thin like body frame. So I've always been kind of skinny, I guess is the best way to put it. But I never picked up skating. I was always like active, but I never like really got into like skating or skateboarding and stuff. So when I was 23, I worked at this sporting goods store called Big Five in California. And it was really cool because it was like cheap sporting goods, basically. And all sorts of sports. But there was a small section for like active sports. And one of them was this basically this kit to build your own skateboard, but it never sold. And the reason why is because nobody wants to build their own skateboard. They want to get a skateboard that's pre-built. So one day I went on clearance and I was like, I've never tried skating before. I'm going to get it. And with my employee discount, I ended up getting it. But I also got like helmets and stuff too, because I was a little paranoid about, you know, skating and whatnot. So one day, this was actually, I think I went in on my day off to buy it. And then I built it while I was, you know, in the store. Because that's what you do when you work in retail management. For whatever stupid reason, you go back to the place when you're not working there to hang out with the people. So, and then I also lived 2 blocks away from the store. So basically I could walk there, and then I was like, I'm going to walk there and skate back. And I thought I was the coolest guy in the world. But I wanted to test it in front of the store before I did it. And everything was fine. I skated, and I was skating, you know, in the parking lot, that sort of thing. You can't turn skateboards very easily when you do the kickflip. I don't know if you've skated before.
No, my brother tried to teach me, and I'm just appalling at
it. Well, the actual surface, when you're on it for more than like 10 or 20 minutes, you got to get used to the fact that your legs are going to get numb. But more importantly, it has to be on a smooth surface, and just know that you're going to be pushing and redirecting often is basically the whole concept behind it. So anyway, I'm skating in the parking lot and I'm feeling like I'm gaining some confidence, doing some turns, definitely trying to do kick flips. I wasn't even there yet. But then I was like, oh, I'm going to skate all the way home to see how it goes. I live 2 blocks away. So I skate up, you know, the parking lot, and then I go on the sidewalk to cross the railroad tracks. Where I was, the store was in a city called Menlo Park, which is near the Stanford campus. And there's a Caltrans, it's like a train that goes from the 2 different cities, I think from like San Jose to San Francisco proper. So I skate and stupidly, I'm skating my skateboard, like just on the sidewalk. I skate across the tracks. Well, I go across the tracks, my skateboard doesn't. The wheel got stuck in the rail. I just thought I was going to pass by it, but the wheel was not wide enough to make it out of there. And it got stuck, like it really got wedged in there, I
Oh,
think from the
God.
weight of me or on top of it, and it got whoosh, hammered right in. And then they were softer because I had been skateboarding for like 15, 20 minutes. So when wheels get hot, they got soft. And I couldn't, I'm not even kidding. I tried tugging for like 2 minutes to try to get the wheel up, and I panicked, like freaky panicked, because I'm thinking it's going to be just like a scene out of Stand By Me. If you've seen Stand By Me, where the train, they're just like walking on the train tracks, and then the train starts coming. They're like, they have to run, and it's crazy. But I thought that, A, I didn't want to leave the scene of like potentially like something's going to get like a big accident. I'm going to derail a train with my skateboard. But I was super nervous. I didn't know what I was going to do. Thankfully, and this is one thing that saved me because I worked at the retail store, it was cheaply built. So I yanked it, yanked and yanked and yanked, and I could not get the wheel up. But I ended up pulling the bolts out of the it's called the train, I think it's called, or not the train, the truck. I pulled the board off of the truck. So all that was left was basically this wheel that's in there. And then I was able to pry that wheel up and out, because only one side of the board got stuck. So I was able to pry that up and out. And then I used the, I can't remember, I think I used the edge of the board to kind of lip it up, if you know what I mean. Like I kind of crowbarred it up, basically. So I was able to get it out before anything crazy happened. But that was almost when, I mean, I didn't even hear a train or see a train, but I'm not going to run away from like potentially getting, crushed or something, or derailing a train. So yeah, that was my second story where I almost created a major scene by skateboarding my way. And I haven't skated since too, by the way. Like I'm just now like fearful. No, I'm not even doing it. It's freaky to me.
Oh no.
So, all right, so that's my second story. My third story, this happened a little bit earlier than this one. This happened when I was 19, and I worked at Blockbuster Video. Hello. But I thought I was going to be ambitious with my life at the time. So this incident kind of happened a little bit about Blockbuster, but more about how I basically, what's the word? I tricked the army into thinking I was going to join.
Oh,
Yeah.
dear.
So I again, this is back when I lived in California, so I walked a lot. So I walked past the recruiting center for the army, and I was like, I'm not even kidding, this is so impulsive. I was like, I hadn't been successfully enrolled in school for like a few months, and I was like, oh, I really want to go to school, but I also, I don't like my job, so maybe I can do something that's like makes me feel like I'm giving back. And in you might know this for context, but in the US they have this thing called selective service, where from like 18 to 28 you can either be drafted in times of war, or like you can opt to join the selective service. And I think given the time, I think 19, this is either right before or nearish 9/11, so it's like some of that was probably like American pride. But I was like, I went into the recruiting center and they showed me like a couple of videos, and they're just like, now you seem like you'd be eligible or looking into selective service. Would that be something you'd be interested in? I'm like, yeah, tell me more, And then we're like, well, you have to come to a Saturday morning meeting, or I don't know what they do. Basically, they pick you up Saturday morning, and then they basically take you to show you what to expect for selective service. And I think it's like 2 weekends a month, and like 2 weeks a year. So you have to take off for 2 weeks a year. But then you're basically, doing things like basic training. You're doing like weapons training, that sort of thing. So at the time, I think I remember like even that day, I was like, yeah, I'm not too sure, but okay, I'll try it on Saturday. The day after, I think I agreed to it. I was like, I don't want to do it anymore, because I panicked. I didn't. I was like, that's a huge time commitment, And I wasn't ready. It wasn't that I wasn't that I didn't want to wake up on Saturday mornings at 5. It was just more like I was not expecting to, you know, change my life this big or whatever. So I basically fibbed to get out of it because they were going to come to my house regardless. There's no way basically I could say like, no, I don't want to do it. You know, I was too chicken to go to the person and be like, can we not do it, or I quit, or how do you do this? I don't think I signed any paperwork. I mean, it's the whole thing was like it's exploratory thing. So, but anyway, I had worked at Blockbuster and I worked the Friday night, and what I ended up doing, because I was a manager at the time, is I fibbed about closing then opening. So if you work retail, you close and then you open sometimes. It's brutal. I mean, but we all have done it. But so I fibbed about that to my folks. I basically said, hey, I close and open, so I'm going to stay at Eric's house because Eric is a coworker. I was like, I'm going to stay at Eric's house because he, you know, he's going to give me a ride to work in the morning. And they were like, okay, that's fine. Now, my parents at the time also didn't know that I had done this selective service thing. They had no idea. So what I ended up doing was Friday night, I found this old like bag of holiday, like, what do you call it? Like decorations, I guess. So there was a tree skirt from like a plastic tree that they would hang up during the holidays. And I covered, I'm telling you the story. I covered myself in this tree skirt and I basically hid like in the store with the alarm set, you know, to try to pretend to sleep and try to like avoid being like drafted by the army.
Oh my God.
So, okay. So the most embarrassing part about this was that when I woke up in the morning, I'd still not talked to my folks or whatever. But when I woke up in the morning, it was like the managers for that morning had come in. I actually wasn't scheduled Saturday morning, but I fibbed about,
Oh no.
right? I fibbed about whether or not I was scheduled. So I had to fake like, hey, I'm looking at a different schedule. And right. And so, and then also like when I went home, like my dad was just like, could you explain why somebody from the army was at our door at 5 in the morning and why you weren't home? I was like, I don't want to join the army.
Oh my
So,
God.
yeah, I fibbed about that, and I mean, now thankfully I'm past the age where they could ever draft me, but if anybody from the you know, from the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines listening or Selective Service, I sincerely apologize. I meant no harm by not showing up for my appointment.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, so that's my third story, and I think now I told you all three. So yeah. Now the fun
Okay.
part happens. You get to ask me questions if you have any.
Yes. And so with question with the first story, there are a few things I want to ask you, but obviously I won't ask you anything too specific considering the nature of it.
Sure.
But when you say you get orders, from the context, I gathered that you do some sort of you make things for people on the on stream
Yeah,
based on what they request.
it's like a web stream sort of thing. It's not pornography, but it's basically like a web
No,
stream. Well, I know
I got the
it
feeling
sounds
it was
highly
probably
suspect.
like I mean, if it was pornography, there probably wouldn't be any issue with you jerking it to GWA.
Yep. That's true. That'd be No, but yeah,
So
exactly. It's a you know, it's basically a web business, but you know, it's like a I don't know what the easiest way to describe the business model is. It's basically something that, you know, business fluctuates at any given time, and it just depends on essentially what, you know, you make for them at the time. So yeah.
okay. So is it like a an open to the public kind of thing, or is it more your dealing with like corporation kind of stuff?
Oh yeah, it's not corporate. It's more of a freelance gig sort of thing.
Okay,
So
cool.
yeah.
All right. And you
I'm
said you
not.
have a boss, so there's definitely like a hierarchical structure in there.
Right. I mean, and I would say too, this is the other thing kind of important. Because it's freelance, there's a little bit more laid back or casual sort of thing. So I'm not under necessarily any pressure, but it does reflect poorly if I'm not able to kind of like sustain the business model, which is like get these orders done as quickly as you can. So like, and I don't want to say like minutes are super important, but like at least having like a justifiable, you know, explanation is probably the key. Yep. There. And so, you know, for me to be like, I'm sorry, and make up excuses, even to him, was just like mortifying, because I was like, I mean, I don't know, maybe porn isn't as shameful, but you know, like for me, it's just like, I think about like being embarrassed by that. And I'm just like, oh man, I probably should have. So, you know, you put those rules in place and you're just like, I don't know. Sometimes you still feel like, ah, I just still want to do it anyway.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. There's not much more I can ask about that one.
Okay.
Okay. So for number two, how long would you say you were struggling with the board?
Well, moving in one direction and the other direction is just fine, but in terms of turning the board, I couldn't figure out how to turn it with my body, basically. And I ended up destroying it, like, you know, I think I actually paid like $15 for it on clearance, which for a build your own board is pretty good. But yeah, I mean, yep. I think my legs were starting to get numb, and so I was a little bit more like frustrated that I couldn't figure out how to turn. But I also was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna figure it out tonight, so I'm gonna skate home and I'll figure it out, you know, going to you know, parking lot somewhere, you know, a different day or something, another day off where I could actually practice like steering. Part of me actually wanted to do, I had heard about, if you, it's kind of like the bike method. Did you, I'm sidetracking here, but when you learned how to ride a bike, did you start on like a grassy hill? Have you done that before?
No.
So the theory is that when you teach a kid how to ride a bike, you start them on a grassy hill and then you progressively move them up as they get their balance, and then they start to slowly pedal. I thought that would work for boarding. So I was like, and it was really hilly, by the way, in Palo Alto and where I lived. So I was like, I'm just going to go to one of these like corporate, you know, like locations out in the country, because they have parking lots there, but they're also up on the hill. So I was like, I'm going to find a really hilly place and then just work on like leaning my body and turning. So that way I'm not like struggling to do it when I'm actually pushing myself. You know what I mean? Because you have to use your foot to point yourself is the long and the short of it. So yep. Struggling wise though, I guess I would say like, I think I was probably out there, and it was also the dark too. So it was late. I think it was like 7 or 8 o'clock, and the trains still ran that late too. So I mean, it wasn't about me just like leaving the board. I didn't even know if there were cameras watching me. I just didn't know what was going to happen. So, I did like straight lines in the parking lot. I tried my kickflips, which seemed goofy, but I didn't injure myself, thankfully. And then I was like, I'm going to skate home and turned. I was able to turn up the sidewalk, and then again, all hell broke loose once I crossed the train track. So, yep.
All right. Well, I think that's all I had for number two.
Okay.
Number three. So you set the alarms and you hid inside the store underneath this tree skirt.
Actually, the tree skirt was in a bag. So I did hide in the bag. Yeah, I did hide in the store, but there's a section of the store where the alarm basically didn't quote unquote register. The problem that it was all the way in the back by like the mopping and the cleaning stuff, and I'm already, it would be like sleeping on tile. So I couldn't really find a way to be comfortable just laying down, you know. And also I was nervous that if I slept anywhere else, like I would set the alarm off, and then I think you only have like 40 seconds before the cops are called and stuff. So it was just, it was kind of an interesting situation. But I think I took probably like 10 minutes to figure out where I was even going to sleep. Because I had planned to go over to the coworker's house, but I think he had other plans or something. So he didn't actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I can tell you it was not the most comfortable night's sleep I've had at the store. And I have slept at the store. I have slept at the store in other circumstances.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh.
I mean, Blockbuster's not around anymore, so they can't really
give
me demerits or corrective action. Do not sleep in the store.
You might get fired. Watch out. Mm-hmm. So, I think I've got the... I think I know which one. is the truth.
Ooh. So start off by telling me, if you can, which one you think is the least true, or the which one you think is the most
Okay.
implausible.
I think the one that's the least true is the skateboard story. I think this because you said it was about 7 or 8 at night and you were making your way home and you got your board stuck in train tracks late at night when there was no light. Obviously, I'm assuming there were probably lights around, but what I think actually happened was I think you really decided to buy a set, and I think you really decided, oh yeah, I'm gonna skate home. I think you probably tripped over the tracks, because just thinking about it now, I doubt you would have been able to get onto the tracks based on normally they have gravel around them, that kind of thing, with your skateboard. So I think you probably fell over the tracks when your skateboard caught on some gravel, but that's just my thoughts. So I don't think it was a probable story that you would be fiddling with a little skateboard wheel that got stuck in train tracks at night, because that is a recipe for death. And I, oh, sorry,
No, I was just going
yeah.
to say, so the skateboard for you, the skateboard story seems the least plausible. So now you've got to
Yes.
pick between the GWA story and the broadcast story, or the Blockbuster and the Army story, and which one is more plausible?
Yep. And I think that the Blockbuster Army story was also a lie. I mean, personally, the thing I'm having issues with is because I relate to the kind of the panic of doing something that you've half thought about and then realizing, nope, this is what I want at all. But I can't see you as a person just based on how much I know about you. Like, based on how much I know about your personality, obviously you change as you get older, and you said this was when you were 19. But I feel like you're too gentle a person to ever even consider the army. Yeah. And that's not to, oh, I mean, it's a crazy story if it's true, because that's levels of desperation I cannot even begin to think of, in terms of staying overnight at your workplace, hiding from your parents and the army and the security cameras. So I think that one's probably not true. I think that your number one story, the GWA story, is probably truest because I know that mania that you get when you first start on GWA. And you're like, this is like everything that I can't get from commercial porn. And you're just like, I need this all the time. And you kind of go crazy on it before you learn how to kind of bring it back and portion it out. That happens with Netflix series as well. You just binge them. So I think that your number one story is right. How did I do?
So you think my one true three is the GWA broadcast story, where I basically muted my phone by mistake and let my orders lapse and lost track of time, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And you would be incorrect.
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 Oh, no.
The one true three is story number three.
Really?
It's the Blockbuster
Damn.
story. So, I was an awful kid. No, I'm just kidding. I was a really nice kid, and I was just like, it's weird because I think I had, in this day, I was impulsive as well, but I had like this weird sense of like responsibility and pride for, whatever was happening, and I was like, I mean, I was a little bit more optimistic, but I was like, what's the easiest way to make a difference? And I was like, I'll join the army. Because I was also thinking at the
Interesting.
time, like, because they're going to draft me anyway, given the state of affairs.
Oh,
Obviously
yeah.
never happened. But no, I really slept at the store to avoid the
Wow.
army. And I think what happened after was the next time they called the house, I was like, okay, I don't want to do this. And they were like, okay. And it was just like, you know, super, not even nonchalant, but it was just like, it became a very innocuous part of my life where I was like intentionally dodging something, but it just didn't speak, as you said, to my character. Like, you know, you wouldn't, I wouldn't strike you as a person to do anything like that. And it also speaks to, like, for me, it's like, man, I've changed so much. You know what I mean? So, but I can understand
That
what,
was the tough thing for me,
Now,
was because everyone changes, especially from when they're like a young teenager. And I was like, I don't know, how different he was back then, because some people can be real shitheads when they're younger. And so they can become the nicest people later on in life. So you
Well,
never
this
know.
is also before girlfriend. So before I had my first girlfriend. So it's like I'm not I hadn't gotten girl crazy at that point where I was like, I don't care about anything else but girls, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that also kind of affected what I chose to do. I mean, even now as a single like person, I'm just like, I can not to say I can do whatever I want, but I'm gonna be a little bit more grounded when I do things like impulsively and whatnot. Which is funny because you said like exactly, you hit everything on the head when it comes to story number one. You're just like, you know, when you first join, it can get overwhelming. You can get a little, you know, like, oh my goodness, 4 hours have passed. What is going on with my, you know what I mean? In fact, the GW experience for me was before, I mean, it was on a day I wasn't broadcasting, but I had again lost track of time and I was like, this is not going to cross over. This is never ever going to go well. So I made that rule and I'm just like, you know, on times when I
That's a
do
good
that, I have
idea.
to, I yeah, I can't, I mean, I gotta, you know, put my, you know, whatever away. So story number two though is mostly true, except I didn't get it stuck in the train tracks. I didn't even trip on the train tracks. So I did, however, quit because I couldn't figure out how to do kickflips. So I had done the, I actually did the hill thing. And this is so funny because I did it in the middle of the night when nobody was
Oh,
around.
you did do it in the middle of the night.
But I couldn't, all I could do was turn and like, you know, kick push basically. But I can't, I tried to do kickflips and ollies and stuff. I couldn't do it. I thought I was like Tony Hawk. I was an idiot. I didn't know what I was doing. But that also speaks to like how I've never really settled in my life on which sport type thing I want to do. So like it was just a fun experiment and I'm glad I did it, but it was just like, you know, it was $15 and it was just like, okay, that was fine. I didn't get hurt. That's the other thing too. So
Yeah, that's the important thing. Oh, damn.
yeah, sorry. But you know, I mean, here's the other thing. We have tons of stories and certainly lots of opportunity potentially for the future to rematch. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But I know you didn't win, but we should definitely play again if you feel like it. And
Yes,
and
I think
again,
that's a good idea.
yeah, I mean, and if anybody else wants to play too, you can always, you know, just feel free to reach out and let me know what you're interested in doing. I'll try to think of more stories and stuff. But this has been fun, and thank you again for joining me, silly. This is always a fun experience to get to connect and stuff. So.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always good. It's very fun. So, anyone considering it or on the fence, definitely do it. It's good
Yeah,
fun.
it's fun. All right, well, thanks again for listening to 123, and I have been Woody. I have been Woody. I am Woody. And my guest today has been Silly Little Teapot.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good day.